Good evening, everyone. Welcome tonight to the first public deck meeting for the Anglophone West School District. So my name's David McTimony, and I'm the superintendent for the school district. And for the first 20 minutes of this meeting, I will serve as chair. And one of the first tasks that we'll do along our agenda is to elect a chair and vice chair of the council. So before that, I'll ask for you to have a look at the agenda that we have presented here tonight. And as I look at it, as I've already done, I would like to move the consent items of the approval of the agenda and approval of the minutes from the previous meeting to be the second bullet under the call to order.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if we can move correspondence from Chipman up to the first bullet point under new business.
Certainly, that's good. The council okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the first, to be the first bullet under
new business.
So after the election of, after the business arising from the minutes, within the new business as the first item.
Yep.
Okay. Council's okay with that? So do we have an approval of the agenda by consensus or by vote?
By consensus.
Yep. Okay, so we'll approve the agenda as amended. Now a chance to look at the minutes. Our last public meeting was Thursday, June the 16th, the last public meeting of the 2015-16 school year. Give you a moment to have a peek. Yes, that's right. So David, Jane, and Kim attended the recent meeting, and our presence hopefully alleviated some of the stress as opposed to elevated some of the stress. It's an excellent point. Anything else for the minutes? So it's a consent item. We have consent to accept the minutes as presented. So at this time, we will elect a chair and vice chair for our council. And as I look around the room, we have 9 members of council who have all been sworn in and are eligible to vote tonight. We'll do a call for nominations. I'll make the call 3 times, and we'll start with the election of a chair. So are there any nominations for the position of chair for the District Education Council? Sheila?
I would like to nominate Jane Buckley, and the reason being I feel Jane has been considerate to all councilors, even when ideas are challenged. I feel she gets the meetings under control and in order as she did when she chaired our committee 3 years ago. She doesn't bring her opinion forward. She speaks as a whole, and she's very considerate and supportive of all the councillors from all areas. I think she will represent us well with discussions with the minister.
Thank you for nomination. Is there a seconder for the nomination? Seconder for the nomination?
I'll second.
Second. Thank you. So, Jane, I'll turn to you. Do you accept the nomination for chair?
Yeah.
Yes. Are there any nominations for chair of the Anglophone West District Education Council?
I nominate Kimberly Duck.
Is there a seconder?
I'll second that.
Kimberly, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
And this will be my third call for nomination, so if somebody's nominated, I'll just pause for a second because you can nominate a second and a third, but this will be my last call. Are there any nominations for chair of the Anglophone West District Education Council? Okay, with that we'll call the nominations close and we have an election. Jane Buckley and Kimberly Douglas.
Do you want me to
hear? So yes. So you can go that way. 1, 2, 3. And then 1. Yes. So we'll ask you to fold your ballot at least once, and Carol will come along to pick them.
Sean and Carol, can we just step outside? Seems to be going better than Trump and Hillary.
We didn't give them a chance to talk. That'll be an interesting election.
Yeah. Thankfully, there's no strong opinions about American politics.
So after counting the ballots, we can acknowledge Kimberly Douglas as the chair for the Anglophone West District Education Council. Congratulations, Kimberly. So, Kimberly, would you like to chair the vice chair, or do you want me to? I'll finish the job. Give me a moment to catch your breath. We'll do the same process for vice chair. And I'll make a call for nominations for vice chair of the Anglophone West District Education Council.
I would nominate Andrew Corey.
Andrew Corey.
I'm going to decline.
Before even the nom. You're messing up my system, Andrew.
I'm taking two courses this term, so.
Andrew, you didn't want to write your name down.
Andrew Corey declined. We will have for the record that you were nominated, though. Are there any nominations for the position of vice chair for the Anglophone West District Education Council?
I will nominate Jane Buckley for the same reasons as I nominated her for the chair. Politically correct.
Is there a seconder for the nomination?
I'll second again.
Thank you. Jane, do you accept the nomination for vice chair?
Yeah.
This will be my third, and I'll pause at the end. Are there any other nominations for the position of Vice Chair for the Anglophone West District Education Council?
I'll do Wallace Carr.
Wallace Carr. And is there a seconder for Wallace? Wallace, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
So at this time, I'll call the nominations closed, and we'll have an election with Jane and Wallace as the eligible candidates. So it's my pleasure to share the news that Jane Buckley has been elected Vice Chair of the Anglophone West District Education Council. So we can take a 90-second recess to shuffle our seats and fix our hair, maybe. And,
oh, thank you. You say mine's a mess. Women running it.
Take him, let's take control.
Let's run this place.
Yeah.
Let's run this place.
We'll keep Sheila in line, sit close to her.
Well, Mark, if you're
do you want to sit right next to her, I'll move.
Shift my computer just from inside the table, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations.
Yes, yeah. That was some,
are you taking this or leaving it with me?
You know, it's a junk mail. I mean, it's valuable information.
So let's share it.
course.
Don't mess with the candy.
Nice that we have a past chair with parliamentary knowledge, because often the past chair is the parliamentarian in organizations. So it's just to note that when we do things wrong, I'm sure he'll let us know, and that would be appreciated.
Not wrong, but I'm sure I'll share my
when we make mistakes
from time to time.
I have attention from the council, please. Moving on to business arising from the minutes, deck vacancies. There was a PSSC response to the deck invitation?
Yes, I can tell you that a number of names came forward for our three sub-district vacancies, and Carol contacted each of those names and gave them some instructions on how to proceed moving forward if they wish to be considered. And following those instructions, a number of individuals wrote back and provided some information and expressed their intention to be considered for an appointment. And now it's for the council to confirm if you would like to submit these names that have somewhat sorted themselves out to the minister for his consideration for appointment to our council.
So we have, I see Wallace looking at the map. We have one name for Subdistrict 7, and that's Terry Pond, who formerly held the position. And everyone has copies of their letters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. First correction. We have one name for Subdistrict 11, and we have two names for Subdistrict 3.
I would move you submit those names to the minister.
Thank you.
I will second that.
All in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded? So we are still looking for a representative from Subdistrict.
No, for a First Nations appointment. I can tell you that I wrote to, and I should backtrack, I meant to say that for these sub-districts, the former chair and I wrote to the principals and PSSC chairs in those areas to solicit names. Likewise, with respect to the First Nations appointment, we would have a vacancy there, as it's an appointment for each term. And the chair and I, former chair and I, wrote to the six chiefs of our Maliseet communities along the St. John River, and soliciting their feedback. I can tell you that that no names have come forward, and my recommendation would be that we write to the minister and ask that that he decide what to do from here.
Any issues with that recommendation?
No, I think it's great. Thank you, David.
Okay. Do we need a motion?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Then we're set to go with those. Under new business, we have moved correspondence from Chipman Forest Avenue School to number one. you all have a copy of that letter. Do you need for me to read the letter?
No.
Madam Chair, if I may, just for our new members, naming of school rooms and play areas comes under the DEC's domain according to policy 409, and we did create a policy, and it is under GP8, which is our governance process policy. So if you'll allow me just to state that what we have said, that if they're going to name a play area or classroom or whatever, it says at least one public consultation meeting must be held. The results of the consultation must be made public at a PSSC meeting, and the recommendation of the PSSC must be made public at a PSSC meeting. So in relation to the letter, which obviously is in the naming of a playing field, you know, I read the letter. My only question maybe to David is, has that process been followed?
I'm looking at PSSC meeting minutes from Chipman Forest Avenue School for Tuesday, June 28th, and chaired by Brandy Copeland. There were a series of business, but under new business, there's a statement here that says public consultation, read the soccer field naming. As a result of the public consultation meeting, Brandy will send a letter to the DEC recommending that the name of the playing field will be Bernard Sisk Field. Although the attendance at the meeting was small, many members indicated that people in the community had spoken to them in support of the name. A grand reopening of the field would be planned for September, thanks to the generous donations of our district and J.D. Irving. So it appears that the PSSC solicited feedback, and at their meeting on June 28th, there was a consensus for approval of that recommendation to council. The letter, as you see, came from Brandy Copeland, and there was a formal motion that was made to name the field, and it was passed unanimously. I can also say that the mayor from the village of Chipman, His Worship Carson Atkinson, wrote a letter of support for the naming of the soccer field in Chipman at the high school to be called Bernard Sisk Field.
So that satisfies the policy?
Okay, I'll move that we name that field the Bernard Sisk Memorial.
Nope.
No, field.
Moved by Jane, seconded by Mary. Many discussion. Relatively smooth naming process this time.
If I may, before the vote, I'll take a moment to acknowledge the principal of Chipman Forest Avenue, who's here tonight, Ms. Yvonne
Hi.
Caverhill. Thanks for coming. It's a lovely agenda here tonight, but your interest might be finished in about 30 seconds.
Could we have a vote? All in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary-minded, nay. Thank you. Motion passed.
So,
could we break protocol? Would you like to speak?
I'll just say thank you.
Okay. And we understand that there are moose on the road back to.
There are. Just a couple.
It may be that the Daily Gleaner has already tweeted this, but we will. We'll write a letter formally to you and your PSSC chair. Because this is a public meeting, it is public. And I would say if you would like to offer the courtesy to Mr. Sisk so that he doesn't read it on Twitter, maybe the Daily Gleaner might wait 5 or 10 minutes. But you're welcome to go into my office, Yvonne, if you'd like.
I think I will.
Okay.
Back to new business then, the new planning cycle.
Excuse me.
that under our documents on the meeting or just?
I'm not seeing it here.
Yeah, I don't see it there either. Let me go haul that up for you.
I wonder if we might want to just make mention that we have an annual planning cycle with a schedule of policies to be reviewed and reported, and that perhaps council might want to reflect on that between now and our next working meeting and talk it over at our next working meeting to have a good copy ready to approve at our September public meeting. Would that be something that
I think
might
we
work?
We often yep. talk about this in our planning meetings in August that we have ahead of time, so I think that would be a workable option for me, especially. Anyone object to that?
So we're just going to delay this till September.
Yes.
Approval at our September meeting.
September
but
public meeting.
Yeah.
The new DEC meeting schedule that you have a copy of, I would like to propose that we work with the two dates in September, September the 8th and the 22nd, a working session, information session on September the 8th. In Fredericton, and our first public meeting, our next public meeting is September 22nd in Woodstock, and at that time approve a final working schedule for the year. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
Declaration of surplus. Mr. Superintendent, Millville Elementary School.
Well, I can tell you that Millville Elementary School has closed its doors on June 30th of the past school year. The students from Millville Elementary will start attending school in the town of Nakawick in a little more than a week's time. So the school now is vacant. It still falls under our jurisdiction as a school district. Traditionally, the council, prior to March 31st, would declare the school as surplus to return to the province. And there are times when the province likes to have that flexibility early on. So if the council is prepared to make that declaration tonight, then I would recommend it be considered.
I have a question. So, if we make it tonight, is it going to come off our books before March?
No, we've been funded to cover the costs for Millville until March 31st, 2017. Is that right, Sean?
Correct.
So, what we'd be doing tonight is having the go-ahead to make the move to DTI, but I don't think it's automatic, is it, Sean?
No, it would be only if there was maybe a request for purchase or something like that of the building that the DTI would accept it early.
So it allows that flexibility. If DTI had something that they could do with it this fall or this winter, then they could do so if we've given the go-ahead to turn it back to them. As of March 31st, 2017, once we've given the go-ahead, it becomes their property.
I'd make that motion, declare it surplus.
I second that.
Moved by Mark, seconded by Sheila. Any further comment? All in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded, nay. Appeal Board on Teacher Certification.
I can tell you that you're looking at an old agenda.
Okay.
And that was removed prior
to this. Oh, that
was
the
yeah.
one that somebody printed
yep.
before.
We'll, okay. For those of you who are interested, there is an appeal, a provincial appeal board, where members from the District Education Council sit on that. And there's a vacancy on the board. And when the province is ready, they'll communicate a process with filling that vacancy. But we're not in a position to do that tonight.
Expenditure plan, is that on this?
It is, yes. So I can tell you that that we have a responsibility as a district and council to approve an annual expenditure plan, and the Department of Education gave us the go-ahead to do so a little bit past the July 1st deadline as per the Education Act, and we committed to doing so at our first public meeting. And Sean has prepared a presentation for you tonight with respect to our expenditure plan, and perhaps we can turn the floor over to Sean.
Nice flowers there, Sean.
Aren't they nice?
Nice touch, yeah.
Thank you. I try to mix it up.
It's not color.
Well, it is on here, but not on here.
I like it.
It looks nicer on here.
Yeah. It reminds me of the bed. Just interesting.
Not going to work today. All right, so we'll go with the fun screen. So good evening, everyone. I'm the Director of Finance and Administration for Anglophone West School District. And tonight I'm going to present our expenditure plan for approval by council. So each year we go through what I call the budget building process with the Department of Education. And tonight I'm presenting a balanced expenditure plan to you, representing a $208,675,840 budget for your approval. And these monies are assigned through a variety of different ways. You'll see the budget is large in scope and covers a variety of different key areas, which I'll go into. And if you have questions, I'll certainly answer them for you. Okay, so each year we have to look at our budget to see, you know, whether we have enough money in each of the what I call buckets to cover off the expenses that we'll have during the year. And a couple areas that we're going to continue to look at, because we have quarterly reports, one in September, which would be the second quarter, and then a third quarter in December, and fourth quarter in February, that we have to provide reports to government for. So areas that at this point, and it's familiar from past years, is replacement costs, primarily supply teacher replacement, but there's also custodial replacement and bus driver replacement, where the funding, depending on the level of absenteeism, we could have issues there. Heating fuel, natural gas, and electricity. Again, we're subject to weather patterns each year. We don't know what kind of winter we're going to have, so and our funding is based generally on a history of 3 years. So typically if we have a really bad year, we have some flexibility there to handle that, but we'll reevaluate this as we go along. For interest, though, there is a project that's being undertaken by the Department of Education called the Peak Demand Project. And for our district, it represented about $600,000 that they removed from our budget in advance of the project for projected savings. And basically, this project is a project which is a building systems controls project, which allows the building to be phased in, I guess, slower, so they don't get to a point where they're hitting the demand peak, because when you hit the demand peak, you pay that rate for the rest of the month. So it's reducing those peaks and bringing the building more online sooner in the morning, but slower. So this is actually a provincial project that is being run by the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure. They're just in the stages of looking at the controls and putting them in, so we still have some time because we're not in the heating season yet. But obviously we would like to see them get those in place sooner than later, so we don't have the cost associated to this because they've already taken the money. So the other area is the area of minor repairs. You know, we have 69 school buildings. We receive about $1.5 million to maintain those buildings with I call the little things that come up, because when we get things that are more than $10,000, there is some emergency funds available at the department that we can go to, but all districts are going to that fund for that. So it's not an unending amount of money, and it varies year to year how much they have in that. So we have to watch what we spend in that area, and our facilities team do a good job with that. So we have a spending strategy. You know, when we have a large budget, we have multiple spending authorities that are spending these dollars. It's not just me as the director of finance, but there's a lot of different schools, obviously, principals, a variety of different people have budgets they're responsible for. These people are charged with looking for efficiencies in our system. So last year we saw significant efficiencies found in our transportation department, and they did a really good job in looking after their budget. We have a focus on needs of supporting education in the school, so it varies, of course, by department. Transportation is transportation, students and facilities is making sure the buildings are clean and kept in good repair. And so we also continue to talk to the Department of Education about areas that we're concerned about, so we can have maybe some consideration in future budget years for some problem areas that we have. So this chart represents the sort of how our budget is split. Our budget is 82% of it is basically salaries, so with the largest portion being our teaching staff at about $135 million. So, and the rest is our operating budget, $37.7 million. And this is the sort of the chart of our expenditure plan. I'll show you a little bit later what it actually looks like. But this is just a graph to represent it so I can explain the area. So expenditure plan is organized into a variety of areas. Information technology is $348,000. Now that represents the money that we use for software and systems, as well as repair budget for technicians, and also for investment in technology for schools. The majority of the information technology budget is actually held by another unit, IT Shared Services, has the budget for the technician salaries and manager salaries, all that. We don't have that anymore. Student support, $8.2 million in student support. That area is comprised of secretary's salaries, library assistants are in there, as well as the, those are the two primary things. District operations, that is $5.6 million. That's the salaries and operating costs for the district office and three education centers, as well as the DEC budget and the PSSC budgets for schools are included in that as well. Employee benefits, $13.3 million. That's everything from Canada Pension Plan contributions to retirement allowance, and first aid training is in there as well. Transportation is bus drivers and the operating costs to operate our buses are in there. Facilities is $20 million. That is our custodians, our repairmen that work on our buildings for salaries, as well as the maintenance vehicle operating costs, and also all of our, what I call care and control, our electricity, our heating, minor repairs, a variety of different contracts are paid out of that area. Education support, $11.8 million. That is primarily our EAs and also school intervention workers, as well as their operating expense is recorded under that area. And the last area is instruction, $135 million. That is teacher salaries and also the instructional materials budget for our schools, and also some specialty teacher programs are in there as well under instruction. So when you look at this little breakout here, it basically shows how the budget, the largest portion, is obviously spent on instruction, followed by the employee benefits for those staff, and then ed support services, and then it goes down from there. So our school budgets, we allocate $2.823 million to our schools for them to spend. That is organized into a variety of areas that they're used to seeing the money come to them. So we give them $94,000 for Healthy Minds, which is a program for K-5 schools, received this money. PSSC funding, $71,000. Co- and extracurricular trip funding of $106,000. A phone budget, $265,000. Office supplies, $239,000. An equipment budget, school travel budget, printing and copying, $159,000. They receive a budget for textbooks, $425,000. And the largest being the instructional materials budget of $1.329 million for a total of $2.823. So the school budget, we receive a budget called it's called operating expense, and it's for all operating expense in our organization, and we have to take that and break that out into the variety of the buckets that I showed you on a couple of the slides back, and the school budget part of that is in there as well. So with Anglophone West, we've maintained the funding level for school budgets since we became Anglophone West. This is the same budget amount that they're used to seeing. The only adjustment a school would see would be if they had a decrease in enrollment or an increase in enrollment. They would receive an up or a down, but the down, we limit that to 2.5% annually. So if we were to equalize everything, we could have some smaller schools losing 40% of their budget, and obviously they can't take that kind of a hit. So we mitigate that with a 2.5% decrease each year for them.
Sean, excuse me, what are Healthy Minds?
Healthy Minds is a nutrition it's a nutrition program. in schools. It provides additional money for, originally it was given for fruit, vegetables, that kind of thing for young children. So that's what is allocated to schools, and they use a lot of them use it to support the breakfast programs.
And school travel, anytime my kids travel anywhere, we had to get money for it.
No, school travel is for employees. Yeah, it's for teacher travel, and for principal travel to come to meetings that are called. So they get a small budget for school travel as well. So, also with schools, we give them $2.8 million in what I call operating funds that comes from government. We also have a revenue sharing process where we share revenue that is raised in schools from the areas of cafeteria, international student tuition, and rental funds. And the way that we do that is we share it the year after we earn it. So this budget year, we're sharing last year's revenue, and I'll show you the amounts and how it's split. But basically, the process that we've developed, and we've used it for the last few years, is one-third of it is retained at the district level to support other programs and things that schools still ask us for. And two-thirds is allocated to each school, so they have those dollars available to them to spend on things that they can't normally fund through their regular budget that we give them. So, to give you an idea, this year we are sharing $587,813 with schools, and you can see that it's there's $30,000 from cafeteria funding. Last year, we weren't able to share any cafeteria funding because we had a lot more repairs. So they basically canceled each other out. The revenue was equal to the repairs. This year, our repairs were around $70,000. We had some money left over, so we were able to share it back with school. So it's not a lot.
So that's a point worth making, Sean, that the $587,813 that we share is the amount that is given after you take into account repairs and things
yes.
that have to happen.
Yeah. 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 So the same with our rental fund, which is $70,800. That would be after additional custodial costs and things were taken from the revenue that's associated with renting our schools. So, and the largest portion that's shared is the International Student Fund, which we have a lot of revenue associated with that. So that provides the bulk of the money that's shared with schools. And they certainly appreciate getting that. And it allows them to say this money is money that carries forward year over year. So they are able to bank this within our accounting system to, if they're trying to, you know, save for, you know, maybe upgrading some computers, a computer lab, iPads, those kinds of things that they'll use this money for, and some have done facility improvements and things like that to their school that they like to do. So that's that part of my presentation. I will show you this as well. So pretty small
Mark,
print.
Could you shut the lights off and see if we can see it any clearer, please? Or Danny?
So this is basically, I call it the big sheet that I use. It's actually a lot bigger than this. This is actually compacted down to single lines, but within these things, there's a large expanse of categories within that. They're rolled up. So you can see, if we go over here to the budget, you can see the figures here that were represented on my main expenditure plan part of the presentation. So this was the report that I actually sent into the department once the deck, if it's approved tonight, I would send this into them and as our approved expenditure plan for this fiscal.
Is
Is that on the portal, and can that be put on the portal if it isn't?
Was that from Jim?
I did send it.
I think you did send it, yeah.
Yeah, the presentation and the I emailed it.
Okay.
It can be put there. It usually is. So, and basically what this, it cycles through. All the amounts are totaled down. We have, right now, we have a forecast in there. We have our expenses that we paid to date to the end of June, because that's as of the end of June 2016. So you'll be able to see what we paid up to that point, what we have forecasted to the end of March, what the total is. If there are any shortfalls or surpluses, and then what the cumulative total is, which I can't pull over there, but I assure you that right here, it's a zero.
But it's a red zero.
It's a red zero, but it's a zero. So,
I'll get you a photocopy here for them.
Okay. I know that some members are new to council, and I don't know if there's an appetite whether you want me to describe what is actually in these areas. You have an idea of the costs that are associated with that or not, but if you do, you can ask me a question about that, and I'm not going to answer it because some might find that a little boring. I find it exciting. Thus, that's why I do the job that I do. So overall, we've met our obligations under the requirement to have a balanced expenditure plan. I am aware that other districts, were not as fortunate as us. We are balanced, and I attribute that to the way that we're organized and the fact that we're one of the largest districts. So there is advantages to that when it comes to your budget dollars. So I'm guest ready for questions if you have any for me this evening. And, I know David went to go get a hard copy, so you can have it.
I know there was talk previously about having an expanded version on the portal for people to read. Is that a possibility as well, or how does that work?
Certainly. I roll it up this basically so I can get to a one-pager, but
right.
The expanded version is four pages.
Yeah.
That shows the individual line items and the ups and downs.
Yeah.
So I certainly could make that available to the council member. See
yeah, I mean, if it was on the portal, I'd look through it. I mean,
Sean, a question from budget to budget. Are there any alignment differences or large changes in previous years to the challenges for your budget in this year?
Really, the biggest change this year for us was is that they removed the technician salaries out of our budget. They gave it to us and then they took it. So back in June, I don't know if anybody realized when I gave you sort of the budget preview, it was $209 million and change. Now it's $208 million because they actually came back and said, oh, we gave you the technician's salaries in error. It's actually supposed to go to IT shared services this year. So they removed it.
Is the $1.61 million that the minister awarded provided to us to help offset costs associated with Syrian refugees included in this?
No, it is not, because this is as of June 30th, 2016. So that will be reflected in our second quarter report. So these are all the line that you would see that in would be in this budget transfer received line. You would see the money that we would receive in addition to our regular budget there. So we've had $140,000 in transfer so far there. But to answer your question further, as far as change go, we had $600,000 removed for the peak demand project. That is something that is different that this year that we'll have to see how that works. I being a budget person, you know, would like to see the project instituted, the savings calculated, and then taken from my budget afterwards. But they did an estimate and they took it. So, well, we'll be we'll be monitoring that very closely to make sure that it doesn't contribute to a deficit for the district. So, but other than that, there was no real big difference. Everything was the same. Yes, ma'am.
What line item, if it still happens, would dry cleaning for bus drivers come on?
That actually comes out of the employees, the employer benefit area is represented in there, and it's included in a line called other benefits.
Do we know what that amount is off the top of our
head? It is, I believe, $250 per FTE.
Okay.
Is it clothing allowance?
It is. It's a dry cleaning allowance. Is what it, oh, there
it's
is right there. $125,000.
And that's for their uniforms?
That, they don't wear uniforms. That basically was a collective agreement bargaining item that was added to the collective agreement quite a few years ago. So,
when is their collective agreement up?
It's currently being worked on right now. I'm actually on the bargaining team for the employer on that bargaining team. So we're working on that right now.
Sean, did they actually get their clothes dry cleaned?
No, he just said that.
No, that's what they called it, but it was given to them and to replace clothes, like for custodians. They work a lot with
bleach.
You know, bleach. Well, not really, because schools aren't supposed to use bleach, but
cleaning
stuff and getting on their clothes. And it's part of that, but it's really an allowance. I'll call it that.
Really ridiculous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Thank you, Sean, and I apologize for not introducing you to the new members. So we need to have a motion to approve this the cost. Expenditure plan.
I so move.
Moved by Marion, seconded by Andrew. Any questions further? All in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded? Thank you.
Very good, Sean.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to good news on the dry cleaning project.
Moving into committee reports, we have Jane here from the Minister of Excellence in Education Award Committee.
Well, I would just report that I see on your list here that the names of the award winners are listed, but I don't think they're to be public, are they, David?
That's correct, yeah.
So just to let you know that we did meet for hours and hours and hours, John Slip, myself, and Terry Kwan. Sheila was originally scheduled to be on that committee, as noted in the minutes, but because of the timing, she was unable to attend. So John stepped in on her behalf, and we were ever so grateful to her for that. And we came up with our three names, and we submitted them to the minister and to the minister's office. So that's been done and taken care of, and all the write-ups have been submitted.
And the minister actually decides on the awards. These are just recommendations from the council, right?
No. These are the award winners.
Because there's only one per...
One. There's three per district. Or, well, there's three in our district.
Education center.
Three in our district.
Right.
Not education center. Three in our district of Angelo West. And I think there's two in one of the other, and three in... I think altogether there's 10, and there's four districts.
Okay.
Do we know how many names was submitted total, for us?
Yes, there were, I can't tell you right off the top of my head, I'm sorry. There was
eight. Does eight sound right, Jane?
No, I think there was a couple more than eight.
Okay.
I think there might have been 10 or 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so just for history's sake, what is done in previous years is... They would come to the whole deck, and the whole deck would spend that time, and we have done at least the last 2 years, maybe all four, I think we decided to do it by committee.
Yeah.
So then basically the committee decides out of those names who goes on.
Yeah.
thank you very much for that work and that report. Do we have any other committee reports tonight? We have a chance in our first information meeting to look at what committees we have and what people might be interested in working with. So, moving on to correspondence. Henbury High School land requests.
Yes.
Quite anxious to find out about Canterbury's town square, which is not a square.
On June 27th, I wrote to Minister Brian Kenny on your behalf and asked for approval and assistance in procuring a piece of land adjacent to Canterbury High School. I gave some rationale and indicated how we would pay for it, which would come from our self-sustaining funds. Pleased to let you know that on July 7th, the minister replied to me and said that our proposal was reviewed and supported by the department. So there's some technical work to be done. I believe we turned it over now to Sean and some officials from the Department of Education and the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure, and we'll hope to purchase that land.
Thank you. Item we've covered.
So I actually talked about that if it was in public or not.
Yeah.
So on June 17th, the former deck chair and I wrote to the six chiefs of the six First Nation communities along the St. John River. Asking them for nominations for consideration of a First Nations counselor for district, for Angle West School District. The minister makes that final appointment. So that letter was written on June 17th, as was a letter to the principals of the schools in Subdistricts 3, Subdistrict 7, and Subdistricts 11 to solicit names to be considered for the three sub-district vacancies that we have. So those letters are available to you. Are they on the portal?
They're on
yes.
our meeting tonight. And that's it. I guess we moved the last item. I see we have a few members of the public here. Do we have comments? Yes, I will recognize Stacey Brown, the chair of Council of
Deck Manager.
Deck Manager of the Council of all the decks. She's our man. She tells us what to do. She hopes. She tries.
She tries. You don't have to listen. I have to tell you. You don't have to listen.
Thank you very much for coming, and I guess we'll be in contact. I have one comment in closing, and I know the media is looking for something from us on our work with the catchment areas around Leo Hayes, and that will be dealt with at a future meeting, so you'll have to wait. That's mine. Thank you all very much for making this a relatively painless first meeting. Pardon me?
A short one.
Well, you know, we're not in our question mode yet. So we lost some questions.
Right? I would move to adjourn if you're accepting.
I'm accepting motion for adjournment. Thank you.
May I have a minute with the deck after we are alone?
Certainly.